Mark Ballard is with us, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and of course he is following what's occurring across the globe and in Washington, D.C. Mark, this week our senior senator from Louisiana, William Morgan Cassidy, is making news, and he's getting national attention. A Louisiana senator's turn toward the middle is how the New York Times puts it on his vote, Cassidy's vote, that the impeachment trial should proceed. He was the lone senator of all the members of 100 senators to change a vote on this. And so now there are 56 senators who are voting in the direction of a conviction, if you can interpret this as such, which is still 11 votes short. But what happened to Senator Cassidy? Do you have any impression about why he might have voted as he did?
I think that it was predictable the entire time, because he has always been, rather than dogmatic, though very conservative, and he's voted with the former president about 90% of the time. But he was always very practical, and he's always been, at least as long as I've known him since he was in the state Senate, has always been very analytical in when he looks at something. And you may not agree with how he comes up with the decision he eventually makes, but you have to agree that that he wasn't making it lightly. He went through a whole lot of thought process, and I think that he told truth. When I listened, I kind of have to agree with him, is that the presentation that was done by the president's lawyers was kind of long, rambling, and not very good. And so he was persuaded, I think, by the very succinct arguments that were raised by the Democratic House managers of the impeachment. And also, this does not mean that he's going to be voting to convict. It just means that on that question, he believed there was a constitutional basis to continue the trial.
Yeah, there's no guarantee at all that he will vote to convict, and I still have my doubts, but he is getting attention, and John Kennedy is the one who really goes after the national media, but his colleague from Louisiana has stolen his thunder this week. And in this Time story, Cedric Richmond, who's now senior advisor to President Biden, is quoted as saying of Bill Cassidy, "The dude is weird."
That was a couple of 3 years ago when he was running.
When he was running, but he
appeared numerous times.
Yeah, well, but today, as now Cedric Richmond works for the president, puts it more delicately, saying he's always been independent. And we'll see what happens to William Morgan Cassidy, but he is getting a lot of positive attention nationally. But in Louisiana, a state won by President Trump by nearly 400,000 votes, I think it was like 399,000 votes, this could be a risky maneuver, but then again, Senator Cassidy has the luxury of a six-year term he was just elected to. By the time he's up for re-election, Donald Trump will be 80 years old. Henry at the Country Club. Henry, you're on with Mark. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Mark. I hope y'all enjoying this beautiful day that we got here in Baton Rouge. Let me toss this out at you and see if y'all agree or disagree with old Henry on this. I think that, like you said, Cassidy knows that he's in for 6 years, so, you know, he won't have to explain himself for 6 years. But I think that, for the life of me, he's been told by his pollsters, people that he trusts, that the pendulum is starting to swing back and that it might be safe to do what he did. Because I don't trust the guy.
All right.
You know, I'll be honest with you.
All right. Well, he's a political animal. He was a Democrat who helped get Kathleen Blanco elected governor of Louisiana in 2003, and when I say helped, he really helped. He found that doctor who did that killer spot against Bobby Jindal, which may have cost Jindal the election. But shortly thereafter, Bill Cassidy decided he wanted to run for office, and he made the correct call that being a Republican was a better bet than being a Democrat in Louisiana. And he's been very successful, never lost an election, even won one through a weird turn of events, the only time we had a closed primary and a plurality won, and he unseated Don Cashew despite not getting a majority when Michael Jackson, a Democrat, siphoned off 12% of the vote, which almost certainly would have gone to Cashew. But nonetheless, Cassidy is very successful politically. He's a doctor. He's no dummy. I'm sure there's a calculation here as to what he did and how it would affect him with the electorate, Mark.
He specifically said, however, that he didn't poll it, that he was just doing it from the gut. You know, I don't know whether that's true or not, but, I mean, I have nothing to dispute that. But I think that it fits in line with the way he's been for, I don't know, the last 20 years in political life.
Well, he is a maverick of sorts, and he is a doctor, so he's not like many politicians who are lawyers, even some former journalists who may have a different kind of calculus. But Bill Cassidy will soon be home at his multi-million-dollar estate on Dalrymple Drive, and he's out walking quite a bit. You can go by and ask him about it, and I'm sure he's always ready to talk, at least when he's out there, not necessarily on this show, but he'll talk then. We'll be back. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're visiting, as is our Thursday custom, with Mark Ballard of The Advocate. If you'd like to join the conversation, we welcome your input, insights, questions at 877-217-5757. A searing presentation yesterday from the House managers in the impeachment trial of President Trump, showing how the president's rhetoric incited many to do a revolt that involved a mob scene at the Capitol in which multiple officers were seriously injured. Five people died. People were defecating on the floor of the Capitol, and the lawmakers were locked up for their safety. And when they say their safety, they were concerned that their lives were at stake, and they may very well have been. After all, they came in saying, "Hang Mike Pence." And it was a persuasive presentation by the House managers. The president's team will have a chance to respond. A listener notes, based on our few remarks earlier, Mark, that John Kennedy has been suspiciously quiet. What's going on with our junior senator right now?
He has been suspiciously quiet, and I've asked for interviews, and normally that's not a tough hurdle, but he's not spoken, really, and is kept off the air as far as I can tell. And it's certainly not returning my calls. So he has been suspiciously quiet. I think that that he's just trying to stay out of the fray, perhaps you know, avoid the perception that he's you know, all Trump all the time. That could be it. I don't know.
But I would say there's about a 99% chance that John Neely Kennedy will vote to acquit the president of the United States, the former president.
Let me say I won't be surprised if that is is the case.
And so, Kennedy is also a gentleman. If anything, he has more of a switch than Cassidy, because Cassidy made his political conversion before he ran for office. Kennedy did it long after he had a record of being pro-choice and supporting John Kerry and running many times as a Democrat, and then he ultimately had an epiphany after he lost his second U.S. Senate quest. He had lost to Mary Landrieu in 2008, and he ran, and of course he'd unseated the incumbent in 2014. Actually, he had beaten Foster Campbell, because
David Vitter sitting
in Vitter's seat.
Down.
So it was not, and he did it with Vitter's blessing. Vitter was probably the catalyst for Senator Kennedy switching. And in 2004 was the election in which he ran against Vitter and lost. And he finished third behind Vitter and Chris John. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on with Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Every Trump policy I can think of has been a failure. For example, Chinese goods are flooding into this country at a rate that is so high there's a shortage of shipping containers.
All right. Well, what's your question about how that is important to what we're dealing with right now, David?
Well, I'm getting to that point. The only thing I could think of, like the Louisiana Party in Louisiana has condemned Senator Cassidy. So the only thing I can think of is, if Trump loves the Proud Boys and the Oath Takers, a group of races, and if you keep immigrants out, if you're anti-gay, anti-lesbian, the Louisiana Republican Party will love you.
All right. Well, the state Republican Party has not accepted Senator Cassidy's vote well, have they, Mark?
Well, they've issued an angry statement saying that they were disappointed in Cassidy's vote, but they haven't gone as far as the executive committee on it for the East Baton Rouge Parish Republicans, which have censured him for whatever that means, and the state party may do so in the future, but the local party, the parish party, did so yesterday over the vote on the constitutionality. The one thing I wanted to point out with is that Kennedy is running in a year and a half.
Next year, he's running, and I would think he will have opponents, and maybe from the left and the right. If he is running, and you would think he would, he'll be 71 years old. There's always the chance that he will call it a day, but he seems to like being in the U.S. Senate, and he passed up a chance to run for governor to stay there, a race he might have won against John Bel Edwards. So I would be shocked if he did not seek reelection.
And his electoral calculus is far different than Bill Cassidy's, who's, you know, 6, 5.5 years away from his next election.
877-217-5757. Thank you, David in Atlanta. David in Shenandoah. David, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mr. Ballard, I just wanted to say that we have a mutual background as far as your mother. You play bridge with my mother-in-law, Miss George Jones, over in Picayune. But my question is, do you think Foster Campbell may run against Kennedy for governor?
For a senator, I think he meant to say. Well, Foster Campbell tried that and got right at 40% of the votes. I don't think he's going to run against John Kennedy, but you never know.
Yeah, I could not understand the first part of that.
I couldn't either.
Other than George Jones,
yeah.
who I'm a big fan of. But I don't think Foster Campbell is going to. I mean, he's older than both of them, so imagine that he will not run for Senate again.
He'll be
like almost 80 years old.
He's 73 now, and 74 actually as of January 6th.
Okay, maybe he might. I mean, you know, he'd be in his mid-70s against Kennedy.
Well, and Kennedy'd be 71, but this is a new day. Mitch McConnell's 78. He's not going anywhere. Joe Biden's 78. He's the president. This gives me encouragement as I look ahead a decade or two. I think, my goodness, I might stick around for a while. But it was Elbert Gillery, though, who said 80 is not the new 50. And at some point, people do slow down. And we've had some embarrassing moments. Strom Thurmond, for example, should have been long gone. He was not up to the task of being a U.S. senator, but he kept getting reelected. And Richard Shelby the other day in Alabama said he will not be running next year. He's 86 years old. Kennedy, when last time I talked to him was at the Baton Rouge Press Club more than a year ago, and he looked like he had gotten in a little better shape. And he said, you know, we've got the greatest gym in the world. And he said, I'm usually the only one in there. So you don't have a lot of senators running for the gym. But Kennedy is a guy who loves being in the spotlight, and my guess is that he will be running fervently for reelection next year for the United States Senate. But we're not that far away from people ramping up for governor, and that's going to be a crowded field. And Mark, the Attorney General, Jeff Landry, has raised $2 million. But he continues to get embarrassing headlines in The Advocate. Is there a witch hunt against General Landry?
not from The Advocate. I mean, he certainly thinks so, and he's trying to make a lot of political hay about it. But his idea of transparency is not very is kind of opaque, and so he wants coverage that he wants, but he doesn't want to answer questions for the most part. So that's a I mean, I think that's where the rub comes in.
And it is somewhat unusual to sue a reporter.
It is unusual to do so, but they get a lot of mileage out of that. I mean, Trump spent 4 years, condemning the media. Huey Long, when he was on the scene ran primarily against the media. Everybody's against them, and you know, Richard Nixon. I mean, it's a tried and true political strategy.
Well, Mark 3 weeks ago was with us on this program when he lost his beautiful wife, Donna, who fought gallantly against ALS for several years, and he graciously joined us on that day. And I mentioned then that journalists occasionally will talk about things that happened to them, and in this case, Mark's experience was far more searing and momentous than mine. But last night, I live not far from Mark on Park Boulevard in the Garden District. I live pretty close to Bill Cassidy, and I was walking Broussard and City Park by those bicycles, and 10 o'clock last night, a gentleman, and I put that in quotations, that description, he put a gun to my head and stole my wallet and my cell phone, so that's why I was unable to take emails today. And, Mark, the police came, and my case number is 13,153. That's for 2021. We're 42 days into 2021, and we already have 13,153 cases, which shows that this is somewhat of a violent community we're in.
It does. I would hope that they don't start at one at the beginning of every year, because
they do.
That number is
they do.
That's exceedingly high, you know. And we are in a violent community, and we're at a time when crime rates are going up, and so it's a difficult time. You know, a lot of unemployment and a lot of dissatisfaction.
And they did tell me that that includes traffic calls as well, so that's probably a few thousand of them, but 13,153 cases. And as Hiller Moore said, we read about the 120 murders and hear about it on this show, but there are many people, of course, who are shot, many more who live on after their incidents. So It's even difficult in so-called nice neighborhoods. And, Mark, it's a pleasure to be on the air despite a little bit of a challenge last night. And it's always an honor to share the microphone with you. We'll be calling again next Thursday. Thank you.
And I'm glad you ended up safe.
Thank you, my friend.
At the end of that. So.
Yes. First Financial Tax and Accounting Service, Advantage Health Plan, provides signature support.